This is Twinfluence Talks. We're identical twins, business partners, and best friends. This podcast will bring you deeper into our lives, give you behind-the-scenes interviews with special guests, and open you up to the spiritual practices we strongly believe in. Get ready to get raw and real. I'm Jackie.
And I'm Leanna.
And this is Twinfluence Talks.
Trigger warning. Today's podcast contains material that includes bullying and sexual harassment. Please be advised.
Welcome back to Twinfluence Talks. I'm not going to lie, this is definitely a harder podcast for us to record today. My heart's beating really, really fast, and I'm definitely having some anxiety building, but I'm very eager to do this with you, Leanna, and to share this story. So I'm just excited to be here. How are you feeling?
I'm definitely feeling nervous. I feel like you have been trying to get me, sorry, I have a bit of a cold. That's why I sound a little bit nasally. I feel that you have been trying to get me to do this podcast for quite some time now. And I feel like I finally am ready. And I'm like, I understand now why you want to get this out. I feel like it's personally healing and there's just so many reasons for us. And I'm ready to share the story.
Yeah. Leanna's definitely been a little more nervous to share than me. I've really pushed her because I feel like, you know, even from just thinking about it more in the last 6 months, as I've gone on this healing journey and I've, you know, really looked into my triggers and things like that, I've looked at them as an invitation to heal. And it's kind of brought me back to grade seven, to what happened, you know, at that school. And I'm just thankful that you finally were open to do this with me, because I really feel like part of, like, you know, letting ourselves free is sharing this podcast. And I want to do this for our inner like child that like really needed it, you know?
For sure. I also feel like normally our podcasts, I feel like we're so excited and loud and smiley. And I see it in both of our energies right now. Like we're both like,
because I think we're trying, I'm personally trying to stay calm because I don't want to be triggered by sharing it, because it's not easy to share it. This opens up all these wounds and things that we've definitely like repressed over the years that we're now like are coming to the surface and mm-hmm. we're dealing with. So even just sitting here kind of brings you back, you know?
Absolutely. And so I think what we're going to do today is Jackie and I discussed this prior to coming on here. We are going to be sharing two traumas that we just want to be open with you guys about. We feel like it's the time. We want to help others who have been through I feel like every single person, I feel like, has their own traumas, but anybody who can relate to the story or just, you know.
Yeah, totally. Anybody that's like been through anything similar.
Both of these situations that we're going to be talking about today really just made me feel so much shame. They made me feel so bad.
So unsafe.
So unsafe.
And you know, shame can be triggered by trauma that is humiliating and degrading. And I think for us for a long time, you know, our impressionable minds, especially as children, thought a lot of like these projections and you know, what happened was a representation of who we were when really we were innocent. And I think our ultimate healing comes from forgiving, you know, anybody that wronged us. And I'm just ready to set us free. So I'm really ready to share this story.
Yes. And I do want to mention really briefly that none of what we're sharing today has anything to do with the schools that we were at when we experienced this, the staff or the administration. Like really, we're sharing our story today. We know that this is our story to tell, and it has absolutely nothing to do with the institution. So I really want to mention that. And we won't be mentioning the name of the institution.
And it's been, you know, it's been 20 years since this happened. So I think it's time for us to, you know, finally share our story. So let's get into it.
So I'm just going to dive right into it. So the first story I want to talk about today was when Jackie and I were in grade seven. The year was 2002. Like Jackie said, it was 20 years ago. We were just starting high school. The way that it works in Montreal, I know that it's different in Toronto, is high school is grades 7 to 11. And I think Toronto, there's like middle school, so it's a little bit different. So we were just starting high school. It was grade 7. We were so excited.
Yeah. Mom picked us up. We were like so excited to go in together, ready for this new journey, boys, new friends. It was like just something that we were looking forward to. We were going into that year with such optimism and excitement.
Absolutely. I feel like I remember mom picking me up my first week of school and just being so excited. Like I had no idea what was to come. So here we are, we're 12 years old and we're in grade 7. We're so excited. And the school decides to adapt a laptop program. We thought this was so cool. The laptops, I feel like a lot of people would remember this, or maybe not everybody, but I remember them vividly. They were Mac laptops and they had like holders. So they looked like those like purses. You know what I mean? And
yeah, mine was blue. Yours
was blue.
Yeah.
Mine was
had a little
pink.
Handle.
Yeah, that's right. And it was like a purse, like, you know, laptop was so cool. So cool. We got the laptops and the laptop program started. And one of the, not projects, but I guess one of the tasks that they had us learn was how to create an email You know, set it up to from CCC, BCC, because back then,
which was
like
actually
totally
really cool.
To us. It was very smart, actually, how they wanted, you know, it was like the early 2000s. They wanted to, you know, teach us like the way of the world. And I thought that it was actually smart for them to implement a program like that. Who knew what was to come?
100%. Yeah, I actually really like, when I really think about it, it was a really smart program.
100%.
Unfortunately. So what ended up happening was Jackie and I were in separate classrooms. Teachers never let us be in the same class because I feel like we always would talk all the time. So we were in separate classrooms. We're on our new laptops. We're sending out emails. And at this, I guess not at the exact same time, but I was in that class. You were in your class. We both receive an email.
And the email is actually from somebody that we know personally, that's a family friend, but he's sitting next to me in the class. We had just had a conversation and I knew it wasn't him for many reasons other than that, but it was very obvious that somebody had taken, like, we know how it works these days, guys. You see fake accounts all
John
over the
Smith
internet.
At gmail.com. You can do whatever you want.
Yeah. Like, Tom, whatever. Like, it doesn't matter. You can take any fake names, any fake whatevers, and you can have a fake account. You can use people's identities. This is what goes on nowadays. So that's essentially
and back then too.
Yeah. And that's essentially what happened is that somebody took like a friend of like pretended to be a friend of ours, use his name for this email. And we each received an email as we were sitting in class. So
in
I
separate
remember,
classes.
In separate classes. So
yeah, I want to ask you, I think we should each like say like where
the
we
moment.
Were when the moment. So you share your moment and talk about what happened and then I'll share.
I just remember being so excited because like I think we were like supposed to like create our emails and they were telling us, guys, think of what you want to make as your emails. And I was about to send my first email and all of a sudden I got an email in my inbox. I was like, oh, exciting. And I open it up and I just immediately see words that like even now I'm having some anxiety that I don't think any 12-year-old should see. So the email contained, basically it was a rape email. So I was threatened to be raped at the school. It contained words like, I'm going to rip your tongue out of your mouth and rub it on my penis in front of Mrs. Whatever's class. I'm going to rape you in the gym. Everyone's going to laugh, like stuff like that. So it was very, very aggressive.
See my
very intense.
Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, and I just remember being really scared, and I didn't tell anybody. Like my hands are shaking now, and you know what? I think
my hands are sweating.
That was the first time my hands shake. I know I hold trauma in my hands. That's what I've learned through my past life regression therapy and everything I've gone through. That I hold trauma in my hands. So I think that was the first time my hands really started to shake, and I think I put them under my butt and I sat on my hands
oh
and
my
I
God,
stayed in the
Jackie.
Class like this, like shaking. And
you're
I just
12 years old.
Waited. Like, because I know even now I'm starting to shake. I just waited to talk to you because I didn't want to tell the teacher. We'd already like, you know, had some things go on that year with, you know, we'll discuss it after in terms of the bullying, which is like a whole other part of the story. But even before we got these letters, there was some inappropriate bullying going on. I had gotten a note from a boy, like here's a note. I think it's like a love letter from a boy and it's like a penis and a vagina. Anyway, so
people would make very, very, very crude jokes about threesomes with us and we were 12. Like it was just, it was not
appropriate. There was just some things leading up into that. And then I
never thought it would lead to this. So Jackie gets this email and I am in a different class and I see an email come up from the same email account that Jackie received her email from. But Jackie said that that boy was in her class. So she knew it was a family friend of ours. She knew it couldn't come from him because he was literally sitting right next to her. I didn't know that right away. And I was so freaked out at first because it was very graphic. I don't even want to say what it said. It very similar to what Jackie's email said. I don't even have to go there, even though it was way longer than a couple sentences, but you guys get it. It was just awful. And I remember thinking for a second it was him, but then being like, no, something is wrong. And I knew because they used like at the end of the email, there were like a couple numbers, like the year 2002. It was the first name, last name, 2002. So when I started realizing it, that it wasn't from him, I still was like so freaked out. I didn't know what to do. I also started to shake. I also started to get super anxious. I felt sweaty. I felt like I couldn't swallow.
Mm-hmm.
I have like that feeling right now.
And I remember, so after you got the letter, so I remember, so this happens to each of us. We don't tell the teachers yet. We just run to each other after class. I remember running over to her and I'm like, look at this email I got. And she's like, look at this email I got. And I was like, okay, so we both got them. Thank God. Like, honestly, I know it sounds terrible, but like, I never would have been able to get through that without you. So like,
it
oh
hurt
my gosh.
Me. Like, see, I feel like we feel differently about that because I feel like I'm so protective of you sometimes too much sometimes that like it killed me that I got it but it
no but I couldn't
so
go
much that you got it too
Liana if I had to
I don't know
just that whole year but I don't even mean in that way I just mean in the sense of like if I wasn't a twin
And if I had to go through this alone, like with all the bullying that proceeded after too. So that's, we'll get into that in a second.
I hear that.
So
I
want to just also talk about very quickly. So, you know, so after we got these letters, you know, we were shaking, we were scared. We went home that night and we told our dad. And so the first thing I want to mention is
I wasn't going to tell dad, but then I feel like,
no, I was like, we had to. Yeah, I knew we had to tell her somebody. I was super scared. So we showed our dad, we told our dad, and there's two things that he immediately did, which I really believe he thought was the right thing to do. I just don't think, I think based on the resources he had, you know, and the times are a bit different. He dragged me, like dragged me.
Both of us.
To the police station. He dragged us to the police station. And I remember
not
being
dragged,
so
but no, like
it felt like it, I don't know, Leanna, but I just felt like I was dragged to the police station. Like that's how I feel. I felt like I didn't want to go.
Such, like, so
because
yeah,
going to the police station, having to sit down with a police officer who was a man, and for him to ask me, what did you go through today? What did the letter say? While my dad's sitting there, it was just the most uncomfortable situation.
I didn't actually have to go through that process that you did because your email contained the word rape. So
yeah,
I
that was a whole other thing. Like that upset me so much because after I had to uncomfortably explain to this police officer what had happened and what my, like that somebody like had written the word rape in this email to me. He said, okay, well, what did your sister say? And I think dad said,
no, he asked, or
somebody said hers didn't say rape. And he said, okay, so then if hers says rape, but hers doesn't, we're only going to write up a report for the one that says rape. But if I'm being honest with you, like, this really isn't a big deal. You weren't physically touched. Just go home. Like, it felt like just go
so
home.
Awful.
Like, this is nothing. And
I can't,
that's, I think, when a lot of the shame for me started, because I started feeling like all the fear that I was feeling, I wasn't allowed to feel.
Because
and
you're
I
so afraid,
and I didn't know who
everybody's
to go
telling
to.
You is not a big deal. You're like being gaslit, essentially.
Yeah, essentially, totally. And I didn't know who, like, to go to but you. Like that night, we held each other and cried ourselves to sleep. Like, remember how scary that was? And then we had to go into school the next day. So that's the next part of it, which is like where it gets very intense. So we had to go back to school, and the principal or whatever, the administration at the time, didn't handle it very well. And yeah, unfortunately, I think somebody was kicked out, or I don't know how they
so what? No, I remember
or,
actually. So
I don't
I remember
so
somebody was kicked out. It was two. So Jackie and I never found out who it was.
We were told
that we couldn't find out who it was because the person was a minor.
Yeah.
Which is just like, because throughout the
to
years,
day,
I feel like to this day, we don't know. And we have people from the school that are boys that were in our grade that year that follow us, that DM us. Some of them are married to people we know.
We'll just
and
never know.
We
yeah.
don't know.
Yeah.
Like, we don't know. Like, I know a few people, like girls that message me and follow me, and like they're dating a few guys from high school. And it's kind of weird because we don't know.
Yeah.
But
and
the
we'll
person
never
who
know.
Got kicked out, like, could it have been the person who got kicked out? All signs point to yes, but there were some
something
factors that played
I believe
in that
to be honest,
was more than one.
I don't.
So,
I don't believe it was the person.
I don't think
kicked
it
out.
Was one person.
And I felt really bad because I felt like,
yeah.
You know, what ended up happening and the reason why it got so out of hand was that because this boy was kicked out and because all these boys were questioned, we were like horrifically bullied. And like to the point of, there was one point where I was in the cafeteria and I don't know if you guys remember the movie Scary Movie, but in that movie, there's a scene where they're all standing around the school and this guy picks up his phone and it's, oh, you want to kill me? It's for you. Mm-hmm. But instead, what this guy did was, so we were in the school cafeteria and he ring, 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 hello. And he stands up on the cafeteria table and everybody looks up and he's like, oh, who is it? Oh, you want to rape me? And then he turns to me and he goes, it's for you. And
everybody started laughing. And I stood there like shaking in my boots. It was so.
And I ran into the bathroom by myself, hide myself like underneath the stall. I had to go to class after. Once I got to class, like then there was more bullying that ensued. People were laughing at me for crying. Like you're like, and then we would
it was awful.
It was just
horrible. I honestly
was scared to go to school. I was scared to go to bar mitzvah functions that we were invited to.
There was one bar mitzvah that we went to where we were literally bullied out of it.
Yeah.
We walked in.
They made us leave.
We're going to rape you. We're going to this. People were joking about it. And then
we left.
We didn't make us leave, but we felt like, how could we stay there?
I remember, though, they stood in a circle
called
around
dad
us.
Crying.
Ugh, it was so bad.
It was just, you know, so this is also why we couldn't stay at that school. Like we left at the way or like, hello, like, how do you continue?
But I want to mention too, one other story that I think is important to share. Two things I want to share before we wrap up this story. like I said, we don't blame the school, but I do believe the administration, like we could have definitely used some more support. I feel that everybody stood with the guy that was kicked out because obviously that's so unfortunate. So like, I feel like, of course, it's horrible for this boy who was kicked out of the school. We felt terrible. We didn't want him to be kicked out. We didn't even know if he really did it, but we felt like there was a lot of support for his family and for what he was going through because he was kicked out of the school. Maybe it shows a sign of the times with women and men and stuff. But we felt like as women, we had no support. We were like ruthlessly bullied. It was horrible. We needed support from our peers, from our teachers, from our parents, from parents, friends, from anybody in the community. And we got zero. Instead, we were told that we weren't allowed to feel bad because we weren't actually physically touched. We were bullied ruthlessly by friends and people that we trusted. We would cry ourselves to sleep every night for like a year. Like it was horrific. Like, and we like were made to feel like this guy that was kicked out or whatever, or the boys were the victims because they were questioned when we didn't have anything to do with how they were questioned or what went down. We didn't want anybody to get kicked out. So it goes to show like, well, of course, you know, we're always told like when someone bullies you, you have to feel for the bully. Of course you feel for the bullies, but
because they're obviously, what do you mean by that?
Because they're going through things. If you're hurting, that's what I was always taught as a kid.
You're hurting others, you're hurt. Yeah. Hurt people.
But I also think that, you know, it wasn't on the child that did this or the children that bullied us. What's going on in your home if your child is sending a letter like this? What's going on in your home if your child is treating someone else like this? And I think that that's also really important as parents. We have to be a little bit more aware, you know, and I wish that our parents and the
even
people around us
that, like,
were a little
know,
more aware.
Absolutely. And even hearing you say like that, we felt bad when he was kicked out. Like, I just find that so.
Well, because, but I remember feeling that way because that's how
I feel. Think it's really fucked up.
Yeah, no, for sure. And that's what where I said it triggers a lot of shame in us. And that's why years later, I'm understanding.
So unsafe.
Yeah, because I had shame and feeling bad that I got this letter and this other guy who potentially wrote it was kicked out, you know? And also the fact that we never found out who did it.
I'm telling you, that's still, I know we literally just mentioned this, but like, that's why sometimes social media for me can be so difficult because when I see people DMing me or I see people watching my stories who are in relationships or who know the people that were in the school that year that bullied us or potentially did it, it makes me feel really,
no,
really
for me, what's the hardest thing for me is like when I'm a lot better now, obviously, but if somebody is, it's more like not knowing if a friend comes to me and says something to me, like people are saying things about you, but I can't say who it is. That triggers me because, you know, when something like this happens, it made me, I'm sure you too, question the people that I trusted. So I was like, who could have said this about me? Is it my best friend? Is it like, you know, somebody that I know, someone I've worked with? Like,
especially because we're going to lead into it. This next story we'll share.
Yeah.
It'll make more sense even more why we've had some trust issues, but I just feel exactly what you're saying. I think that we've definitely healed. I feel like we're in such great places today, like with the friendships we have and the relationship that you and I have, but it took a lot of time to get here because of these trust issues that we had. And to this day, there are moments still when I still get a little bit freaked out over stuff and
100%
still working on. Let's actually get into the next story because I feel like it gives a lot more context. So the next story was actually, how many years later? 5 years later, it was 2007.
Yeah. So the first situation happened first year high school. And then the second situation happened first year CJIP.
College or CJIP, right?
Yeah,
so
CJIP.
And there's no CJIP in Toronto. So essentially it's college. So it happened again. It's our first year in a new school.
Excited, optimistic.
Because we've been through hell and back. Like after we switched schools, we went to another school. Obviously, there was still some bullying there. Nothing as severe as what we had experienced, like with the rape emails.
But it
was a theme. It was a theme. It was a theme.
We just always kind of felt like
it was a theme.
Because
it was two of us. Yeah.
I think also because of what happened in grade seven, I think that even once we switched schools, we were just still so anxious and triggered from what had happened because we had kept it in and we had never really had any tools or adults or anybody to like really help us deal with it or understand it. So I think even once we switched schools, it was still very difficult for us. Like either way, it was better, but it was still not the best.
Still not the best. So we ended up switching schools. That was for another 5 years. And then it's college time. So we're getting into college. We're so excited. And
can't wait to go to a new school. Like same
finally,
vibes
a fresh start.
We grade seven. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's like the same story. Well, different, but same vibes. So in terms of like trust and stuff. So we are in the first year of college and we're so excited. And one night I'm at home and I'm on my computer and I try to go log into my Facebook and I get an error message that it's the wrong password. And I'm like, what are you talking about? How is it the wrong password? Like I double checked it six times. I get an error message. It's the wrong password. It's the wrong this. So I had to reset my password. I thought it was so weird. finally get into my Facebook. So there's just this like weird influx of messages, and I open them and I see that what had happened was that somebody had gotten into my email, figured out my password, my Facebook password's gotten into my messages with Jackie, with other people, and started sending them around to everybody. So I'll give you like an example, because like I feel like just to give you guys
give context
to explain it. I had a message with Jackie about an ex-boyfriend that I was like still like in love with. Okay. And I was healing, like, you know what it's like when like you're trying to get over an ex, you're like, I hate him, he's the worst. You say negative things because you're so unwell. Mm-hmm. So I had sent Jackie some not nice things about him because I was like unwell, and he was like dating somebody else and I was still in love with him. And that's how I coped. And the person who had gone into my Facebook took the message that I sent to Jackie about my ex-boyfriend and sent it to my ex-boyfriend. That was one example.
No, and that happened to me too. I had messages sent to ex-boyfriends. I had things I said.
Messages that we have shared with each other, sent to the people that they were about.
Yeah, that's what it was. I don't know if that's
so like,
that's what it was. And it happened.
It was wild.
It happened to both of us.
Yeah.
And we each had, so basically like it was the same thing for me. Messages I'd sent Liana sent all over to people that they were about. If I talked about a boyfriend, it was sent to that boyfriend. If I talked about somebody, it was sent to that person. If I said I didn't like someone's skirt, she knew I didn't like her skirt. Like whatever I had said to you about people or whatever, it was sent out. And I want to say something here. We were like 18 at the time. And I feel like we had like, just because this had happened, you know, we were, of course, after it happened, we were massively bullied and all these things that like happened again. It was like the same thing again. But we also kind of took the fall for everybody that was doing the same thing. Like, don't tell me that people are not talking in messages. Don't tell me people aren't gossiping. Like, I'm not excusing
our behavior.
I'm not excusing our behavior.
Absolutely.
I'm not saying we should have said those things. And trust me, now we've done, like, we're different people now. We're not these young teenage girls who like are have these conditioned behaviors and think they have to be some way now
and talk bad about people to make themselves feel better because like, of how unwell and triggered they are.
Yeah. Like because we've healed, we don't feel the need to gossip about these people anymore. We just wish everybody love, right? Like that's once I think you get to a place where you can heal, you don't really want to talk bad about people.
Because hurt people.
And you know that
when you heal, you're hurt. You don't feel the like, totally.
And 100% talk badly about somebody really when you're gossiping, it actually hurts you way more than it hurts that person. So it's just like something
so true. What Jackie and I always say, what Susie says of Sally says way more of Susie than of Sally.
Amen.
Like it's not about
so
who, it's the
I remember
who's saying it.
I actually remember like I don't remember much of like seeing it happen. Like I blacked out, to be honest with you, because it was so traumatic, and it was like grade 7 again. So I don't remember like seeing the messages, or what I do remember is losing access to my Facebook. Like I never got my Facebook back.
And it was also scary because wait, we're forgetting the most important part. Here we are again, not knowing who did this to us.
Yeah, we didn't know who did it.
Here we are again, not knowing who did this. So here we are again, back in grade 7,
like
walking into a school, being surrounded by people. First of all, we had to go back to school the next day and be around all these people who hated us because they read these messages.
They saw these messages.
So like we lost every single friend we had overnight. Mm-hmm. Actually, except for the ones that weren't talked about.
Our ride or dies are still with us. Like
our ride or dies were.
Right.
Are still with us, like have been through.
But we lost all these new acquaintances that we had met, which obviously was wrong. Like I understand where those people, I felt horrible. Like I felt so embarrassed
and
about
I think
my
that
behavior.
That's where it kind of
because,
brings,
yeah, but can I just want to add this.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
I felt so bad about my behavior because some of the things that we had said were obviously wrong and it was gossip and that was on us. But I felt so bad that these people read them because I didn't even think those things about these people. Like I didn't like her skirt or whatever, this or that, or like whatever we had said. It was just me. It was like, it was just me being anxious. And I just felt so guilty that,
well, it was a projection.
I felt
too.
So upset that we hurt people with these words, but I was also so upset because I felt so unsafe again because I didn't know who hacked into both of our Facebooks and did this. And I felt like it was personal.
I felt like it was, for me, what brought me back to grade 7, of course, was like, because we didn't know who did it. But it also brought back those feelings of shame because something was really bad that was done to us. I felt violated again. Well, it wasn't sexual. It was still a violation. My personal messages, well, actually some were sexual because when we talked about ex-boyfriends and then they sent to them to the boyfriends, like that was sexual. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. It felt like a violation again of my privacy. And it made me feel shame again because I felt like we were being told that we're terrible people and that we never should have said these things. Like you never should have got that guy kicked out of school. Like it brought me back to grade 7. You never should have done this.
Right.
When really like
right.
we were like literally like
while yes, it was terrible what we had said, everybody, people at 18, not everybody, but a lot of children at 18 are gossiping. They're, you know, maybe not acting like their true selves.
Look at people today who their old Twitter accounts get like unlocked.
Exactly.
And it's all such, and they're like, oh my God, I'm not the same person that I was when I wrote this 10 years ago. And then they get canceled. And like, it's terrible. Like, I don't even like, it's just, you know what? There should be accountability for behavior like this.
And we take accountability for sure. We
should be teachable moments. Okay. There should be teachable moments. Like it was a teachable moment for us. But like, it's just,
I think at the end of the day too, like it was horrible, but it really brought us back to grade 7. I just think that we took the fall for what a lot of people were doing. And a lot of people in that grade, or at the time you're 18 years old, we had all had these conditioned behaviors when we were young, as you know, to think we had to be a certain way and act a certain way. And a lot of us were acting in these ways, and we unfortunately took the fall, and it was horrific. And I do not excuse what we shouldn't have been gossiping in those messages, but we were children. And once again, we needed support, and we needed like, just, you know, whatever therapy, who knows, just somewhere to talk about what was going on. And we weren't given that. And it just, when I think about it, it makes me very upset, because now years later, I just understand so much about like why we are the way that we are from these situations, you know?
And also, yeah, I completely agree with that. And it was just exactly what you're saying. It was that same feeling of being unsafe, just how we had to go into school after getting the rape emails, not knowing who.
Yeah. And do we want to get into who did this, or?
So we're not going to share who did it, but what we will share is that we did find out who did it. They admitted it to us.
Somebody that we trusted
and loved very, very, very much. That's why it was like, it was even so much more disappointing, because like, it wasn't like a random boy who was trying to mess with us. It was somebody that was in our personal inner circle.
It was a close, close friend.
A close friend of ours. And we loved her so much. I thought we'd be friends forever.
And I think that ultimately could leave you with some like issues.
Trauma.
Like not only traumatic, but like, somebody that you hold near and dear, so close to your heart, that could do something like this to you, is going to make you never trust anybody. And I think since this has happened, you don't trust like I trust. Like we've had definitely with new friendships, like with Danielle, like, you know.
Yeah, Jackie's friend Danielle, be proud of yourself. That's a newer friendship. Yeah, so that's a good point. Like I remember when I met Danielle, she's like, you're a real tough cookie to crack. And Jackie was so much easier to get to know. And I was like, you know what? Like I've heard that a lot. I've heard
it's
that
Jackie's always like that, Leanna. Like I'm much more open to people. I welcome people in more, where you definitely have a bit of a stronger like wall up. And I know it stems from what happened that year. And
I think that when I realized it was somebody that we knew that was so close to us, it broke me. It literally, that was really,
it was
really
shocking.
Painful
it was
for me.
Very shocking when we,
because I loved her so much. So it was really
totally
painful for me.
And I think just at that age too, your friends are like your family. So it was like such a big deal, but either way, like, let's move on. Let's hope everybody in the situation is healed. And I want to say too, like, we don't blame like anybody. We're not blaming anybody in the situation, like anybody that did anything to us, or the young children, the boys, or whoever it is that bullied us and girls. We want to set ourselves free from all this. Like we forgive anybody. We're sorry for any wrongdoing that we've ever done to anybody else. Like we just want to like move on from this, like once and for all. And I feel like
we are moved on,
but this is the, for me, like, I feel like
sharing this is like the final step, the final step,
because it makes me feel like
such a big deal.
Everything that happened to us happened for a reason, because now we can be this, like, Leanna, it made us who we are. We are like, so I believe spiritual and open and enlightened the way we
feel. I need to be a bit more open, I think, though,
but
to others.
I think that these situations,
I'm still working on that.
But I mean, open with your spirituality and open to something beyond the physical world. And I really believe that if these situations wouldn't have happened to us, we never would have been open to like spirituality. I think people that have dealt with trauma are very open to spirituality, because I really think it helps you heal.
100%.
But I also think that if these things never would have happened to us, we wouldn't be as driven as we are. People are like, how are you so driven? How'd you get so far with your business? Like, you know why?
It's so funny. A friend of mine last week was like, I'm blown away by you. She like called me and said the nicest things about the business, because I sent her pictures and samples. And she was like, I'm like, what do you mean? She's just like, I'm blown away by what you've done. You told me a year ago you wanted to do this, and I can't believe how much you've done in a year. And she's like, I where do you get it from? And I'm like,
And I think for so long, I think it's important to address, if I'm being honest, like when we first started sharing our stories on social media and like 5-6 years ago, it was maybe like more with the intention of attention, because I felt like I had to prove, like seeing any of those bullies from that year see my story, or seeing any of the girls from there or whatever it was see my stuff, made me almost
feel like, now we don't get
validation. It made me, now I don't give a fuck.
Like, I don't post about, I gotta tell you, that it's so true. My attitude about social has changed so much. Like I just, it's exactly what Jackie said. I'm not like, I'm sharing to like make others feel good. I really couldn't care less.
It's about serving the community.
Off.
Yeah. It's about,
yeah, I know that I'm content with my life. I know what I have and I don't feel the need to show it off. Like, I just feel totally different about
it. It's about serving the community, I think, more so than like getting attention on ourselves. We post with intention, not for attention. And now it's really about like you guys, it's about the people. And I really wholeheartedly believe that like, if these situations wouldn't have happened to us, these two particular situations, we would not have our successful careers. We would not be helping all of you guys. We would not be talking to our angels and our guides, and we wouldn't have our clothing line. And I know it's all because of this. So like, that's also kind of like what I want to like
a happy ending
the stories with. But I do want to mention before we go, I think we should talk a little bit about EMDR.
Yeah. So I definitely want to get into that. I'm the one who actually did it first. So I really want to explain this to everybody. So I want to talk about, Jackie is very, very correct in saying like spirituality, all these things really, I find are very helpful with trauma, but
well, doing the inner work, like do, you got to do the inner work. I just remember a couple of years ago, there was like a lot going on in the family and I had a close friend like ask me something. And
Bev died, you mean?
Yeah. And the way that I responded to her wasn't the most positively. Like I just responded with anger. I had a short fuse and it had nothing to do with her. It was because I was dealing with so much of my own stuff. And I remember sitting down and being like, okay, why did her saying this trigger me? And I realized nothing to do with her. It actually just stemmed back to some shame and stuff that I was going through about like,
right,
feeling like I could grieve Auntie Bev and feeling right, like I was allowed to grieve her and like blah, blah, blah. Anyway.
So I think it's really important to mention that just like we're saying spirituality is great for dealing with trauma. I really wanted to look further and find something that was like more on like the clinical side, like with like an actual like professional therapist, not that the amazing spiritual advisors we work with aren't professional. I just wanted to get as much education on what was out there to deal with healing traumas. So I found out about something called EMDR. I'm going to tell you guys what it stands for. Just, yeah. I'm pretty sure I know.
I've actually done it also like based
yeah,
on.
Yeah, I eyes. Made, after I did it. So it's called eye movement eye movement desensitization and reprocessing. My goodness. So one of those days. So,
funny.
So it was, I did it first and Jackie ended up doing it with the same person who I did it with. She was absolutely fabulous. And if anybody's interested, you can DM me. I'll definitely give the information. She was amazing. And it was the most interesting thing. It felt like it was like CBT because you're learning how to manage your thoughts and it's like a screen. Like, I don't want to get too much into exactly
what it
is.
You're looking at the screen
and a screen and you're thinking thoughts and you're managing your thoughts by distracting yourself and all that stuff. And
I want to add in here, like for me, I remember when I did it. You guys know I did like a past life regression.
We both did a past life regression.
Yeah, and I started.
I actually did the past life regression first too.
Yeah, both.
First time I brought stuff to you because you brought so much stuff to me. I brought these two things to you.
I love it. We bring stuff to each other.
Yeah.
So I did the EMDR therapy and I remember going into the therapy and I was looking to just like deal with like some anxiety that I was having around like the curfews of the pandemic and things that were happening with COVID, that I was just struggling to deal with things that were happening with COVID. And then I went in for EMDR and I started doing like looking at the screen and moving
doing the exercises.
And I started having memories from, as you guys know, who have seen my past life regression and have heard about it, from the Holocaust. And it was the EMDR therapist who is a licensed like therapist. Like, she's not a spiritual woman. Like, she's an educated.
Yeah, she wasn't spiritual. I agree.
She told me, I think you need to have a past life regression. I think you might have been in a war or something. And I think if you did a past life regression, it would help you because you're clearly having memories that aren't from this life. Because you're supposed to think of memories as you look at the screen from this life. But I was having memories come up from past lives. But anyway, the point
so
is
crazy.
Is EMDR is incredible. If you're dealing with trauma from now or trauma from a past life, it's amazing. And also past life, I think also past life regression is really good for stuff like this too.
Oh my God, my past life regression changed so much for me.
Yeah. So I think we could kind of end it off here with just like, thank you for listening, Liana. I'm really proud of us.
I feel like
through this, can we be honest? This took us like many takes. Like, we had a hard time with this one.
Yeah.
Normally we kind of just go and we can get it up there, but there was a lot of crying, a lot of pausing. Like, so just be mindful of us. If we talk over each other, if the editing on this podcast isn't perfect, like we really, really did our best.
At least you apologize when you interrupted me that one time. So.
But I'm proud of us for getting through this. I'm proud of us that we're able to end this like okay. And that we're not like screaming and crying and like upset right now. So just, I love you, Liana. Thank you for sitting here and doing this with me. And thank you to every single one of you for listening to us and for giving us a safe space to share stuff like this. Because while of course we want to share this to help others, we also want to share this because it's part of our healing. So thank you for listening and we love you guys.